Welcome to this week's Key Voices. I'm Eva Jozefkovic, bringing you a roundup of the latest education news and an interview with our lead content editor here at The Key, Kaylee Foran, on dealing with negative comments from parents on social media. Firstly, the news headlines this week. The 2019 GCSE results stay stable. 21.9% of pupils achieved a grade 7 or higher, the equivalent of an A or higher, up from 21.4% last year. There have been large increases in entries for art and design, computing and history. Ofsted's annual Teacher Attitude Survey has revealed that less than 1 in 5 teachers think the inspectorate is reliable. Results also reveal that there has been a drop in the proportion of teachers who think that school inspection is necessary and important to hold schools to account. The Guardian has reported that disadvantaged pupils are almost twice as likely to fail GCSE maths as their wealthier classmates. The research from Teach First shows students from poorer backgrounds in England lag far behind their wealthier peers in key subjects at GCSE, prompting calls for the government to put more investment into schools serving deprived communities. Other GCSE news. The TESS has reported that most teachers feel new GCSEs do not accurately reflect ability and have worsened pupils' mental health and engagement. Results from the NEU poll showed that 54% of GCSE teachers felt the revised qualifications were less accurate measures. Schools Week has reported that Ofqual refuses to change grade boundaries, despite the NRT showing an unexpected slump in English. The NRT's annual statement, published this morning, reveals there was a statistically significant downward change in the proportion of pupils achieving the pass mark, grade 4, in English language. And most schools are extending GCSE teaching into Key Stage 3, with a minority even beginning courses in Year 7, a new study has shown. In the survey by the NEU Teaching Union, which questioned 750 GCSE teachers, nearly two-thirds of respondents, 63%, reported that their school started GCSE teaching in their subject before Year 10. And now on to our interview series. This week, we're speaking to Kaylee, our lead content editor here at The Key. We'll be talking about dealing with negative comments or behaviour by parents on social media. Welcome, Kaylee.
Thank you for having me.
So let's just start off by acknowledging that social media plays a key part in school life these days. We know that there are loads of positive things that it can be used for example, helping to promote the school, communicating with parents and the school community about any recent developments or changes that are relevant to them, and a whole host of other things. But by using an open platform such as Facebook or Twitter, we obviously open ourselves up to quite a lot of challenges. Why do you think that parents use these channels to vent their frustrations?
I think it's probably worth thinking about the types of things that parents do on social media that are problematic for schools. The first thing to say is that most parents, and indeed pupils, use social media as their regular, as a regular part of their interaction with the wider world. They're used to interacting with companies and other businesses and services, and even their GP surgery sometimes through the medium of social media. And as a result, it's no different to expect that their interactions with the school would follow much the same pattern. And, you know, we all are kind of aware of the challenges of communicating on social media, how being behind a screen and behind a keyboard depersonalizes things a little bit and makes you perhaps braver and more willing to say things that are critical or hurtful that you might not say to someone's face. And that's true of schools and of any other business or people, really. So I think it's probably worth acknowledging that this isn't a problem unique to schools. It's just a general pattern. But parents do a couple of things on social media that are challenging for schools in particular. One is to complain about something that the school is doing in a public open forum. And that's just as challenging for a school as it is for, you know, any company with a Twitter account. And parents also may vent their frustrations or have personal conflicts on social media that aren't actually about the school at all, but may affect the school's work. So that's things like if two kids get into a fight on social media, or if there's cyberbullying happening, or if a parent becomes aware that another parent's child is bullying their child and wants to vent about this on social media, that can ultimately end up on a head teacher's desk, even though it's not really about the school at all.
Sure. No, it's really fascinating what you were saying there, because from my personal experience, I know a lot of people who go on social media to speak directly to organisations, usually when they really want a response. So they either haven't really necessarily been able to get through via the regular channels, or perhaps the speed of the response hasn't been what they were expecting. And they sort of turn to Twitter or to Facebook thinking, gosh, if I put this in a public domain, I'll trigger a reaction. So it's interesting that the same thing is true of parents.
I think that's right. And to some extent, actually, in schools, this is even more acute, because schools often have lots of people that you might speak to about any given problem. So if you're a parent and you're not sure who the right person is to talk to about something, you may end up speaking to the wrong person, not necessarily get the response that you were looking for or that you feel is adequate, and then turn to social media as a way of trying to get the thing you think you should have gotten in the first place. And schools often have very complicated, or what can seem complicated, like complicated complaints procedures as well. And so if you're a parent and you think, well, you know, how do I get the school to listen to me? You may be handed a copy of this complaints procedure that's long, maybe feels a bit legally. You're not really sure if it's going to get you where you want to go in the end. So you might just vent on social media instead.
Yeah, I think that's certainly, from what I've seen, I think that's often the case, and that is what happens. And bearing in mind what you mentioned about sort of these lengthy procedures, is there any advice that you can give on what schools can do to deal with negative comments on social media, and perhaps how to sort of facilitate that process of making a complaint to make it a little bit easier?
Yeah, definitely. So the first thing is to make sure that parents are aware of your complaints procedure, and to make this as user-friendly as possible. Lots of schools have policies that are handed down to them either from their local authority or from a multi-academy trust. And these can be technical and long, and sometimes extracting the relevant bits for parents and saying, hey, you know, if you have a complaint, this is the relevant bit for you. Don't worry about this bit for pupils or this bit for stakeholders. This is the bit that's relevant for you. Making it really user-friendly, and making sure you're reinforcing often that there is a complaints policy, that you hear complaints fairly, and reinforcing to parents that you want to hear their complaints. You don't, you know, that you see the criticism as constructive, you want to fix the problem, but that they have to do it through the appropriate channel. You know, it's quite possible that if a parent complains about something on social media rather than directly to the school might only find out about it by accident. You know, we want parents to go directly to the school with a complaint. So reinforcing that we have this channel for you to use, please use it so that we can solve the problem and address it directly. In terms of the other things, the other types of negative behavior, we would actually encourage parents to adopt ICT and internet acceptable use policies. And basically what those are policies that explain to everyone in the school community, pupils, parents, staff, how you expect people to use the internet and the school's ICT resources. And that includes the way you interact with people via email or on social media and things like that, and making it clear to parents that you can absolutely complain to the school if you have a problem with, you know, the way your child's class teacher sets homework, or, you know, any number of other things, but that you have to do it in an appropriate way. You have to be respectful of staff and pupils and other parents. And, you know, the golden rule, right? Treat people in the way you would want to be treated. If you wouldn't want people to mouth off about you on social media, then don't do it about other
people. Don't do it to them. Yeah. No, I think that definitely is something that is universally true. And I think a lot of the advice you've given is really great and can really set schools up in terms of preventing these kinds of things from happening. Unfortunately, sometimes despite our best efforts. There will still be the odd parent who does post yeah. something really negative on Twitter or any other channel, in fact. What would you say, in extreme cases where this happens, can head teachers or other senior leaders choose to ban parents from the school site? Or even, you know, sort of might it be appropriate to take legal action if the situation is really sort of has escalated out of all control?
Yeah, both of those things are options. So just to start with the banning parents from the school site, head teachers do have the power to do that. You should do that carefully and as a last resort. And it's, you know, it's quite likely that you would have to do, or you would resort to something like that if it was a situation where comments posted on social media or sent via email or mentioned in, you know, parents groups or WhatsApp chats or things like that are abusive or might be considered hate speech or, you know, racist, sexist, those sorts of, you know, those sorts of comments that are just really inappropriate. But it really should be as a last resort. That's not just because that's quite a drastic action, but because it really affects the relationship between the school and the parent. So obviously, if you're saying that a parent can't come onto site except for at the invitation of the head teacher, for example, for a one-to-one meeting or something like that, you're affecting that parent's ability to do things like pick up and drop off their child from school, or be involved in parents' evenings sometimes. And that really does sever a positive working relationship. So it's quite an extreme step, but it is something you can do if you feel it's appropriate.
Sure. So we're only sort of using these as absolute last resort measures where everything else has failed.
Yeah.
No, definitely understood. At The Key here, we recently did a poll on the methods that schools found most effective in these situations of attempting to stop a parent posting inappropriate messages on social media. Could you tell us a little bit more about the results of this, because I thought this was very interesting.
These were really interesting results, and it speaks to you know, what I was mentioning just now about trying to preserve a relationship and not taking drastic action. So the most popular response, 75% of respondents said that they arrange a meeting with the parents involved, and that's just a way of reestablishing that human relationship and saying, you know, let's all be adults about this. Let's try and find a solution and get together in a room and talk about it. And normally, in the vast majority of cases, you're going to be able to achieve a resolution there. As I mentioned earlier, the next most popular response was actually reminding parents regularly about your complaints procedure. If parents know that they will be heard, that there's a process, that process will be fair, and that if they're not happy with the outcome, there's an appeals procedure as well. That's a really good way to stop people from trying to raise this issue in more public ways, or ways that can be damaging, you know, to the relationship between the parent and the school. More extreme steps would include something like sending a letter from the head teacher, the chair of governors, explaining what the school's expectations are, and explaining that they expect parents to raise complaints in an appropriate way, or to not complain about other parents or other children on social media in a way that can be detrimental to those families. Regularly reminding parents about your acceptable use policy, or if you have a parent's code of conduct or a social media code of conduct, something like that as well is a really good way to stop these things from happening.
Sure. Can I just ask on that note, yeah. would you say if somebody has already posted, would you sort of respond back to them in a public domain and point them towards these sort of sources on your school website or wherever you happen to store them?
So we wouldn't advise getting into a fight on social media. So if you see that someone has posted something that's inappropriate, and that may be a complaint about the school, it may be a complaint about another parent or pupil, or it may be even images of other children that aren't this parent's own, which sure. can cause a safeguarding or child protection concern. We would recommend speaking to that parent directly off of social media, partially because you don't want to publicly shame parents. They may not have been trying to do anything wrong, or they may not realize that the comment that they've posted or the image that they've posted or whatever it is that they've done has wider reaching implications. So it's worth having that conversation privately and addressing it privately and asking them to take any comments or offending posts down.
Sure. No, that's useful to know, because yeah. I know in that respect it definitely is different to the way of the often complaints are handled by organisations, aren't they? Because in that sort of setting, they're normally sort of answered publicly, but it's really useful to hear that in a school situation that should be handled differently.
Yeah, that's what we would recommend anyway.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Kaylee. That's been really, really useful to talk through. And I'm sure schools will agree that there's a lot of really, really sort of handy tips in there. If we were to summarise, bearing in mind what we've been talking about today, if you just had one single message for school leaders to take away, what do you think it would be?
I think it would be don't get disheartened by this. Just because there's negative things happening on social media doesn't mean that there's something fundamentally wrong with your school or that you failed in some way. This is an infinitely fixable problem. If you have the right policies and procedures in place and you communicate them well with parents and bring parents on board in terms of helping create a positive culture in your school, I think this is definitely a fixable problem.
Brilliant. And I think also for them to know that they're not alone. I think it happens
in so many different
schools across the country. Excellent. Thank you so much for listening. Key Voices is produced by The Key, giving education leaders the knowledge to act. Special thanks to Kaylee for talking to us today. Members of The Key for School Leaders can access hundreds of articles on the latest issues in education at thekeysupport.com.